The Unbeliever's Lament. These poems speak for themselves. Both Matthew Arnold and Thomas Hardy lacked a living trust in Christ. Matthew Arnold, in his Dover Beach, confessed, "The sea is calm tonight, the tide is full, the moon lies fair upon the straits. On the French coast the light gleams and is gone. The cliffs of England stand, glimmering and vast, out in the tranquil bay. Come to the window, sweet is the night air. Only, from the long line of spray where the sea meets the moon-blanched land, listen. You hear the grating roar of pebbles, which the waves draw back and fling, at their return up the high strand. Begin. And cease, and then again begin, with tremulous cadence slow, and bring the eternal note of sadness in." Sophocles long ago heard it on the Aegean, and it brought into his mind the turbid ebb and flow of human misery. We find also, in the sound of thought, hearing it by this distant northern sea. The sea of faith was once too at the full, and round earth's shore lay like the folds of a bright girdle furled. But now I only hear its melancholy, long, withdrawing roar, retreating to the breath of the night wind down the vast edges drear and naked shingles of the world. Ah, love, let us be true to one another, for the world, which seems to lie before us like a land of dreams, so various, so beautiful, so new, hath really neither joy, nor love, nor light, nor certitude, nor peace, nor help for pain. And we are here as on a darkling plain swept with confused alarms of struggle and flight, where ignorant armies clash by night. Thomas Hardy, in his poem, The Respectable Burgher on the Higher Criticism, graphically set out the consequences for many of that attack on Scripture. Since reverend doctors now declare that clerks and people must prepare to doubt if Adam ever were, to hold the flood a local scare, to argue, though the stolid stare, that everything had happened ere the prophets to its happening swear, that David was no giant slayer, nor one to call a god obeyer in certain details we could spare, but rather was a debonair, shrewd bandit, skilled as banjo player. That Solomon sang the fleshly fair, and gave the church no thought whate'er. That Esther with her royal wear, and Mordecai, the son of Jair, and Joshua's triumphs, Job's despair, and Balaam's ass's bitter blare, Nebuchadnezzar's furnace flare, and Daniel and the den affair, and other stories rich and rare, were writ to make old doctrine wear something of a romantic air. That the name widow's only heir, and Lazarus with cadaverous glare, as done in oils by Piombo's care, did not return from Sheol's lair. The jail set a fiendish snare, that Pontius Pilate acted square, that never a sword cut Malchus's ear. And, but for shame I must forbear, that someone nameless did not reappear. Since thus they hint nor turn a hair, all church-going will I forswear, and sit on Sundays in my chair. and read that moderate man, Voltaire. Thomas Hardy's poem, The Oxen. Christmas Eve and 12 of the clock. Now they're all on their knees, an elder said as we sat in a flock by the embers in hearthside ease. We pictured the meek, mild creatures where they dwelt in their strawy pen, nor did it occur to one of us there to doubt they were kneeling then. So fair a fancy few would weave in these years. Yet I feel if someone said on Christmas Eve, come see the oxen kneel, in the lonely barton by yonder coombe, our childhood used to know, I should go with him in the gloom, hoping it might be so. Thomas Hardy's poem, God's Funeral. I saw a slowly stepping train lined on the brow, scoop-eyed and bent and hoar, following in files across the twilight plain, a strange and mystic form the foremost bore. And by contagious throbs of thought or latent knowledge that within me lay and had already stirred me, I was wrought to consciousness of sorrow, even as they. The foreborn shape to my blurred eyes at first seemed manlike, and anon to change to an amorphous cloud of marvellous size, at times endowed with wings of glorious range. And this phantasmal variousness ever possessed it as they drew along, yet throughout all it symboled nonetheless potency vast and loving-kindness strong. Almost before I knew, I bent towards the moving columns without a word. They, growing in bulk and numbers as they went, struck out sick thoughts that could be overheard. O man, projected figure, of late imaged as we, thy knell who shall survive? Whence came it we were tempted to create one whom we can no longer keep alive? Framing him jealous, fierce at first, we gave him justice as the ages rolled. Will to bless those by circumstance accursed, and long-suffering and mercies manifold. And tricked by our own early dream and need of solace, we grew self-deceived, our making soon our maker did we deem. And what we had imagined we believed, till in time's stayless stealthy swing, uncompromising rude reality mangled the monarch of our fashioning, who quavered, sank, and now has ceased to be. So, toward our myth's oblivion, darkling and languid-lipped, we creep and grope, sadlier than those who wept in Babylon, whose Zion was a still-abiding hope. How sweet it was in years far hide to start the wheels of day with trustful prayer, to lie down leisurely at the eventide and feel a blessed assurance he was there. And who or what shall fill his place? Whither will wanderers turn distracted eyes for some fixed star to stimulate their pace towards the goal of their enterprise? Some in the background then I saw, sweet women, youths, men, all incredulous, who chimed as one, this figure is of straw, this requiem mockery, still he lives to us. I could not prop their faith, and yet many I had known, with all I sympathized, and though struck speechless, I did not forget that what was mourned for, I too, once, had prized. Still, how to bear such loss I deemed the insistent question for each animate mind, and gazing, to my growing sight there seemed a pale yet positive gleam low down behind, whereof to lift the general night. A certain few who stood aloof had said, "See you upon the horizon that small light, swelling somewhat?" Each mourner shook his head. And they composed a crowd of whom some were right good and many nigh the best. Thus dazed and puzzled, twixt the gleam and gloom, mechanically I followed with the rest. Thomas Hardy's poem, God Forgotten. I towered far and low, I stood within the presence of the Lord Most High, sent thither by the sons of earth to win some answer to their cry. The earth, says thou, the human race, by me created, sad is lot. Nay, I have no remembrance of such place, such world I fashioned not. O Lord, forgive me when I say, thou spakest the word and mayst it all. The earth of men, let me bethink me. Yea, I dimly do recall some tiny sphere I built long back, mid millions of such shapes of mine, so named. It perished, surely, not a rack remaining or a sign. It lost my interest from the first, my aims therefore succeeding ill. Happily, it died of doing as it durst. Lord, it existeth still. Dark then is life, for not a cry of aught it bears do I now hear. Of his own act the threads were snapped whereby his plaints had reached mine ear. It used to ask for gifts of good, till came its severance self-entailed. When sudden silence on that side ensued, and has till now prevailed. All other orbs have kept in touch, their voicings reach me speedily. Thy people took upon them overmuch, in sundering them from me. And it is strange, though sad enough, earth's race should think that one whose call frames daily shining spheres of flawless stuff must heed their tainted ball. But sayest thou 'tis by pangs distraught and strife and silent suffering? Deep grieved am I that injury should be wrought, even on so poor a thing. Thou shouldst have learnt that not to mend for me could mean but not to know. Hence, messengers, and straightway put an end to what men undergo. Homing at dawn, I thought to see one of the messengers standing by. O childish thought, yet oft it comes to me when trouble hovers nigh. Thomas Hardy's poem, The Darkling Thrush. I leant upon a coppice gate when frost was spectre grey, and winter's dregs made desolate the weakening eye of day. The tangled vine stems scored the sky like streams of broken lyres, and all mankind that haunted nigh had sought their household fires. The land's sharp features seemed to be the century's corpse outlent, his crypt the cloudy canopy, the wind his death lament. The ancient pulse of germ and birth was shrunken hard and dry, and every spirit upon earth seemed fervorless as I. At once a voice arose among the bleak twigs overhead, in a full-hearted evensong of joy unlimited. An aged thrush, frail, gaunt, and small, in blast beruffled plume, had chosen thus to fling his soul upon the growing gloom. So little cause for carolings of such ecstatic sound was written on terrestrial things, afar or nigh around, that I could think there trembled through his happy good-night air some blessed hope whereof he knew, and I was unaware.